If you have your book, you should already have this in there, but that's as long as everybody has something, that's great. So let's do a quick review. Obviously, we've been down for a little bit. Brother, you look like you had a... Well, we're going to start actually at page... Yeah, I believe it's 21. I was back a couple pages. Yeah, page 21 is where we're going to start. I just want to do a quick review and fly through, you know, when a person's ready to make a profession. So let's review real quick. What are the steps, we'll say, that a person must go through to come to a place where they're ready to accept Christ as their Savior? What's the first thing they have to realize? They're a sinner. What's the second thing they have to realize?
They have to repent of their sin.
They have to repent of their sin, yeah. Brother? There's a penalty on their sin. There is a penalty for sin, right. Now, not, you know, first, you're guilty. If you're guilty, then you got to pay the price. So what's the third thing that they have to realize?
They can pay it.
Right, but that means what? The price for sin is hell. Christ paid the price for them, right? I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. That's judgment, hell, right? But Christ paid the price. Tongue-tied. Christ paid the price. Why does that matter? What if I said, hey, Kyle, I'll pay your price? Is that good? Will that work?
Not if I don't accept it.
Well, not if you don't accept it, but can I really pay the price for your sin? Why does it matter? Christ paid the price.
He's the only one that could.
And why is that?
Because he didn't have any sin of his own to pay for. He was perfect and sinless.
Right. And he was the Son of God. Right? He was born of a virgin. Lived 33 and a half years sinless, and then what? What happened at 33 and a half years?
Yeah, bro.
He died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again, right? Me personally, I feel like these are important details when leading someone to Christ. You know, because Joe Smith could have died for my sins, but it wouldn't have done any good. Because Joe Smith is still in the grave, right? So at that point, he conquered sin and death, right? Ascended to the Father, is the right hand of the Father, and he's now makes propitiation for us, right? So person has recognized the fact they're a sinner. There's a penalty for sin. Christ paid that price. I would say there's sub-points to that that we need to cover for sure. So... Once they understand that, then what? What's necessary?
They have to believe in Christ.
They have to place all their faith in Jesus Christ. Total surrender. Total surrender. Now, we know that at the point of salvation, there's a lot of things that eventually the Lord goes to work in our life and brings us to a place where we surrender. That's the whole process of sanctification. What we were talking about this morning, I'm thankful that I'm still being saved every day, right, from myself. But once a person goes to that altar, they're saying, or wherever they're at, I don't care if they're kneeling in the backyard, they're saying, I know that I can't do anything to save myself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, right? We're going to touch on that here in a minute. So these are the things necessary for salvation, right? That they have to place their faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, the blood, the resurrection. They have to believe that he was the Son of God, not just a man, right? So once a person comes to the point of salvation where they're ready to be saved, I've been hearing this a lot lately. It's an adopted phrase. I won't try to pretend like it's mine, but ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. I got saved 400 times every Sunday doing just that, and I never got any closer to being saved than, you know, the day I was born. I'm not a big proponent in telling people what to say. Only what they need, confess, right? The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and I got that verse right here, I'm sorry. I lost it. Well, does anybody know that verse right off the top of their head? Yes, thank you. I had it right here, but I lost it. I don't believe in leading someone in the sinner's prayer, necessarily. Discuss, you know, let's put it this way. If you're in the ocean, you're drowning, and I'm on a boat, and you want me to save you, what are you going to say? Help me! Hey, help me! Right? Do you really need me to coach you in what to say in order for me to throw you a life-saving device? No. In desperation, in total, absolute desperation, you know what to say. Right? Sure, people get intimidated. Sure, people are embarrassed. You know, they worry about what you're going to think. They don't know how to pray. Right? But the reality is they're saved before the first word ever comes out of their mouth. Because with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. I do honestly believe that, you know, we need to make sure, we need to review with them, hey, do you really understand you're a sinner? There's a penalty for your sin. That you need to, that it's only by the blood of Christ that you can be made whole, that you can be saved. And you have to place your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. There's nothing you can do. You can't work your way into salvation. If a person understands this, and in reality is you can't peer into their heart and really know. We only know by the fruit. There's a lot of professions that were made at the tent meeting, right? Can anybody here raise their hand and be willing to co-sign to their salvation? Well, you don't know. Only God knows. And only them and God knows. But the Bible does tell us there will be fruit, right? Right. So we sort of have to exercise a bit of faith ourselves that person truly got saved and just try to disciple them and love them. And, you know, like pastor's experience, he often shares testimony how he sat here for 3 years serving God, lost as a goose, right? Well, you never know that maybe that's part of the road they need to travel to come to the point where they realize they're lost. Right. You know, maybe you have to go through a works type scenario and then realize, you know, I kind of went through that a little bit where I had to realize, because I used to go to church and think, man, I can't do what these people are doing. I don't have what they have. I don't know. And then I get frustrated and quit. And then I ran off into the world. And then I realized, well, this ain't working either. So you just don't know the road somebody needs to travel to come to the point where they understand the truth. So be very careful at ABC, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, now you're a Christian, and I just put another notch in my belt, okay? We want to make sure that we're really giving people the truth, discipling them, and allowing them to come to the truth. You absolutely do not want to convince somebody that they're saved if they're not. That's a bad thing to do. Because I counted on a whole bunch of prayers I said when I was 5 years old for a long time. And if I would have died, I'd have went to hell. I'll be honest, I have to be very careful. Because when I think back on that, I get a little bitter about the role some people played in that. in allowing me to be deceived for a long time. Don't do that. Don't do that. So how to overcome obstacles. We're going to skim through this real quick. You can read this on your own. These topics are all laid out. I've always been a Christian. God is too loving to send anyone to hell. I'll get saved later. The thing you need to understand in all of these, yes, there is people legitimately have questions or lack of understanding. But these are all lies of the flesh, the world, and the devil. And that's what you're dealing with. Don't spend too much time drilling down in one of these. This is a diversionary tactic to get you sidetracked from just giving someone the truth. I've started to notice a common theme when I'm witnessing to somebody that they'll, it's funny. I've heard so many of these statements, and they keep wanting to go back there. They keep wanting to drill down there because that's where their hope is. That's where they feel comfortable. And every time you pull them out of that and take them to what the Word of God says, the truth, you make them uncomfortable. Well, I'm sorry if the truth makes you uncomfortable, but the truth is the truth. And I'm just trying to show you in love that you're deceived. They don't like that. I didn't like it. So when you're dealing with someone, Satan's tactics are always the same. How many times, Brother Rob, have you been witnessing to somebody, there not be another soul within 500 miles, and then all of a sudden, whew, right there, they come running in? Well, we know what that is. So, you know what I started doing when that happens? Because I used to let that, okay, shut it down. Nope, now I just start witnessing to that person too. You know what started happening? Fewer people start getting involved. Satan's not going to send people to me to witness to, right? So if you let him win, he'll keep sending people. If you just keep witnessing, no matter who comes up, you'll find you have a smaller and smaller crowd. And then you can continue to deal with people one-on-one. So when you run into these obstacles, you know, these questions, you know, I know, Brother John, we witnessed to that one lady that day, and she hit on a lot of these, didn't she? People are going to try to take control of the conversation and steer it in a way that keeps you from going where the Lord wants it to go. So familiarize yourself with those things. Just know they're not going to do anything different than what you would have done. So ask yourself, if you place some little role reversal in your mind, you know, you can hear yourself saying some of those things. I know I did. When I read through them, I was like, I remember thinking that. Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason is because we want to think people are safe. Mm. Like if we have a family member, man, we don't want to even consider that they're going to hell.
Right.
So we hang on to anything they give us that might be a glimmer of hope.
Right.
That they're safe. Oh, well, they're a member of so-and-so church. Oh, they know they read the Bible. Oh, I know they pray. Oh, I mean, I've seen them at times be nice. I mean, we hang on to the little thread of evidence.
Right, yeah.
When in reality, we ain't helping them. Because if we convince ourselves they're okay and they're not, what have we done?
Yeah.
If we bought the lie. So us making excuse for people, all it does is further damn them to hell.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
And so for us to exercise what you're saying there means we have to be willing to
drill down into the truth.
Into that area.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be revealing.
Right.
And not be afraid of what we're going to find there.
That's good.
I think it's going to take us, all of us, being willing to engage in an uncomfortable situation. Because I don't know about you, but it's uncomfortable. I mean, I dealt with people at the tent. I mean, I literally was dealing with a lady who was claiming to be demon-possessed, had demons, all these things. And then at the other side, she said, well, I'm able to cast out demons. And I was like, well, what's your problem?
Right.
Cast them out. Right.
Right.
I reminded her of that, and she got mad. She goes, well, I think he's wrong to preach that. And I was like, whoa, we got an issue. Because the Bible says that there'll be a whole lot of people that say they can cast out devils, and they're still heading to hell. They need to be born again. She got mad and walked away. But if I just would have agreed with her, either way, she's going to hell. But at least now she knows that the reality is that just casting out devils or whatever she perceives to be that, doesn't mean you're safe.
Right.
She's going to say, but it's uncomfortable.
Well, what I see when I look, when I read these questions, people are wanting to make it a you and me issue.
That's true.
Not a you and the truth issue.
Yeah.
Right? Look, you can listen to the Gospel of John Haley all day long and go to hell.
Yeah.
But this right here, it ain't moving. So, either you and I are both wrong and it's wrong, and we just make up our own mind. Like, you know, the book of Judges, every man's dad did that which was right in his own eyes, right? Or this is true, and we're both subject. Now, I'm just trying to help you. But I'm not going to argue with you. If that's what you want to believe, believe that. Just know you're wrong. And I'm moving on. That seems a little dogmatic, but is the truth not dogmatic, brother?
I was going to say, one of the things that helped me is years ago when I was in Bible college and soul winning classes and all that, I heard somebody, I don't remember what it said, that most questions, or a lot of times questions that people have, they're just diversionary tactics.
Right.
And so somebody taught us to say, you know, that's a good question. I'll be glad to answer that for you when we get done here, but I want to.
I've seen you do that. Yeah.
If you'll ask me again when I'm finished, I'll be glad to answer that for you.
Yeah.
90% of the time, they never come back with it. They don't even remember
right.
What they said. Now, there are cases, I think, where you have to be very sensitive, and some people do have big issues. And I spent a couple hours dealing with a man on some questions he had, and these were real critical. And when he finally understood the truth, and we went through a lot of scriptures, it was really easy for him to say, I understand that now. That's, you know, now I can trust in what the Bible says, and I do believe these things. And I think basically, he believed the truths for salvation. He just had some real big hang-ups with a couple of scriptures. So it's important to discern when you're talking to people whether they're serious or whether it's a smokescreen.
Right.
And whether it's really an issue. Some people, they do have severe issues that have never been handled properly.
Mm-hmm.
But in some cases, people just try to throw you off the track.
Discernment was that was the word I was just getting ready to go to. Know your audience. I'm gonna be honest with you. There's I've noticed trends in people. Different people from different backgrounds typically have, you know, like, so say you got people that you're dealing with on the street. You typically hear a lot of the same things. Or people that are very successful. You typically hear a lot of the same. You can almost group them into categories by how they're going to respond. Now, that's not, you know, always true, obviously, but the Lord, here's the thing. It's not you. The outcome of the matter is not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon the Word of God and the Spirit that draws them. Amen. You're not drawing them. You're just an open vessel for the Lord to use. Are you willing? Are you surrendered? You know when you approach someone, hey, brother, well, I wouldn't call him brother, but hey, I'd like to talk to you about, do you know if you died right now where you would go? You do? Could you explain that to me? Maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to, you know, I don't necessarily say that, but but, you know, I just like to know, you know, can you tell me your story?
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. You don't want to talk. Brother Rob don't like me putting on the spot. But the point is, I can't lead anyone to salvation. I can only let the Lord work through me and the Holy Spirit draw them, right? I don't have anything to offer you. But the Holy Spirit does. Mm-hmm. Right? So, the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to give you the discernment. He's going to give you the words to speak, to know. But there again, you've got to be prepared. Be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that lies within you. Don't get drawn into arguments. That's where a lot of that diversionary tactic comes in. I've had people get off on the space aliens and just, and y'all have to. They'll take you all kind of down all kinds of roads. And next thing you know, I've been drawn into this stuff to the point where I'm just like, I'm done. Right? You don't want to get there. You don't want to get there. That's why, like Pastor said, you and Brother John, you have to discern, okay, why are they asking this question? Is this a legitimate issue? And you can read people's, their body language, their spirit, their demeanor. If they just want to argue, don't get drawn into an argument. Just keep going back to the truth of the Word of God. Because they can't argue with this. They can argue with you all day, but they can't argue with this. They'll run. I've seen them do it. Or they'll get mad, want to gnash on you with their teeth like they did Stephen, right? That's not a bad thing either. I mean, it might not be pleasant, but it's not going to be bad. But look at these questions, read them, ask yourself, you know, put yourself in the questioning category where you're the one asking the question. And then stop and think about it. You know, if you look at it from the inside out, like, let's just take one. Let me look here. Page 16. Go to page 16. We'll drill down here for a second. God is too loving to send anyone to hell. That's probably some version of that is probably what I hear more often than not. Or I can't believe in a God that would send anyone to hell. That's usually more often the case. Well, I believe in God, but I don't believe he'd send anybody to hell. How can God be all loving and send anybody to hell? Well, we know the answers to these questions. Is there anybody in here that thinks they couldn't answer that question? Let's just be honest. Is there anybody? I mean, anybody? I don't believe a loving God could send anybody to hell. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, Brother Rob? You believe a loving God could send anybody to hell?
No, I don't believe that.
No? Good answer. Sister Jessica, do you believe that? Do you believe a loving God could send anybody to hell? Yeah. Right. What sends people to hell? Rejection. A loving God made a way for you not to go to hell. Your rejection of that free gift, you're sending you to hell. Not God. So don't make God the boogeyman. Right. So then that opens the avenue of, so why are you rejecting? Well, that leads us to other questions. Like there's a question in here that says, well, I've got too much to give up. Oh, so you love your stuff?
Yeah.
You love your sin? You love your pleasure?
They don't look at it as sin.
Okay. Okay, well, the Word of God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God, right? Well, isn't jealousy a sin? Not righteous jealousy. I'm going to tell you right now, if my wife's showing favor to another man, I'm going to be jealous righteously because she's mine, right? Man was created by God for his pleasure. We're his. We were stolen. Now you're going to tell me you have a problem with that? Me, it makes me feel wonderful that I got a God that loves me, was willing to fight for me. That ought to make you feel special. That ought to make you want to accept Christ. Why would you reject someone that loves you so much? Why would my wife reject the love, the jealous, righteous love that I have for her? Make it personal. Like that is personal for me. When I think on it in terms like that, now I understand. Now I understand the love of God. I understand the love of Christ. I understand why he was willing to endure so much. Because he loved me. Because he loves you. Yes, sister. Yeah, my children, I love them with all my heart. I love them enough they won't like me. Right?
Somebody poses the issue like, follow me in my Sunday, I give up and all that. The reality is that they really at that point don't understand their condition.
Right, yeah.
They don't understand, because repentance, I don't think of ABC, I think of R and F. I think repentance and faith. And so two steps to salvation. And so repentance is that I get to the place that I'm willing to turn from my sin, any other thing that I would hold up in reference to a savior other than God. It deals with idolatry, it deals with all those issues. So at that point, someone's not ready to repent.
Right.
If you're not ready to repent, is they don't understand their condition. They don't.
Yeah.
They have no idea of what their sin is lodged against them. This isn't. They've made it all about them.
Yeah.
You know, what do I have to give up to get something better? That's all they're thinking. You know, I like steak, but boy, if I can get myself, you know, some really good meat far beyond, you know, some absolute wonderful bacon or something. if I could trade that for that, that's all they're thinking. People are selfish.
Yeah. Right.
So
what can I get out of it?
Yeah.
Right.
The reality is, you have no idea the condition you're in. You're looking at life without parole in hell. That's what you're looking at. You're worried about a baseball game. That testifies to me that you have no clue what we're talking about.
Well, and even there, just like the baseball game illustration, a lot of times we can get drawn off.
Yes.
What's really important is, look, your sin is not a baseball game. Your sin is you're rejecting the blood of Christ. You're rejecting the sacrifice of the Son of God. That's an offense to him. Would you not be offended if I rejected the blood sacrifice of your Son to purchase my freedom? If I said, nah, it's not good enough for me. Yeah, you'd absolutely be irate, reject, or furious. Yes, brother.
What Pastor said earlier,
Right, yeah.
And you know, I began to realize there's a big difference between identifying with sin and feeling convicted for sin.
Amen.
You can talk to people all day long and say, you know, did you ever steal candy from a candy store? Oh, yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do this? Did you ever take any money out of your mom or dad's bill? Oh, yeah, you know, everybody does that. They don't feel bad about it. They don't feel convicted at all.
Right.
There's a huge difference. And for years, what I did, and I know a lot of people in the same boat, they would talk to people, you know, do you believe that lying's wrong? Do you believe this is a sin, that's a sin? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's a sin, and all that. But they really didn't feel guilty for it.
Right.
And today, we're living in a generation
that's
worse because people don't feel that a lot of things are wrong.
No.
They do them, but they don't feel guilty for them.
Their morality is based on the law of man.
And if you can't get across to people from scriptures the guilt and that there is a penalty and they are going to go to hell,
right,
then you can talk all day long and
right.
get down to the point, would you like to call on Jesus? No, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Just go to the next house, you know?
Yeah, and we don't want to use people's sins as a tool for manipulation. If a person does not, what the world needs to see is the holiness of God.
Yeah.
Forget what you've done. If you look on the holiness of God, you'll repent. Godly sorrow leadeth thee to repentance. When they see, I think a lot of times we spend time working on the individual instead of telling the individual to look at the holiness of God. When you see the holiness of God, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to rebel to the point of being a reprobate, or you're going to repent. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when I open this word and I start to read and I start to examine myself, it produces one of two reactions. Either rebellion or repentance. I either get, well, that, I can't believe they talked to me that way. I can't believe they talked to me that way. Walk away with the same attitude. Or I go, God forgive me. God forgive me. I wish I responded that way a lot more often. Yeah, brother. Well, and then it's their decision to go to hell because of rejection. Yeah, he's offering. You've rejected. You made that decision, not him.
You know, he's offering to swap his righteousness
for your filthy rags. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yes, sister.
There was always, and I always felt this until I
Misery loves company.
In my younger years, that's what I did. I was always in the wrong place with the wrong people. They guided me wrong, and
Amen.
I went along with it because I wasn't with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Until much later in life, you know, and that's when I was with the right people, got saved, and hallelujah, I'm on my way to learning so much from the Lord.
Yeah.
But I always felt that tugging from him talking to me. I just didn't know how to bring it to
let me ask you
in real terms, you know?
Let me ask you a question. Through that, did God bring someone along to minister to you in that area?
I've had people minister to me all through my life. I just didn't realize that that's what it was.
Mm. You're like me. You had to come to a point where you got past your own hard-headedness.
Really stubborn.
Boy, I don't know something about that.
Looking back, that's what I see now.
Yeah.
He's been there all along. I just wouldn't accept him totally.
Right. You know, I've heard it said that the gospel is so simple that a six-year-old can understand it. And it is. It's not simple. It's not cheap. Okay. It's sometimes so simple that people just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's like it can't possibly be that simple. But the difficulty of it is you've got to get past your flesh to accept it. You've got to be willing to repent. You've got to be willing to say, not my will, but thy will. I said, I heard a guy say one time, the distance between heaven and hell is 18 inches. And you understand it here, but you don't believe it here. Real quick, and then we'll be dismissed. Sister Nancy said something that just sparked a thought in my mind. Really applicable to all of us, but especially to young people. If you want a good basis on choosing your friends, real easy, one questionnaire to decide whether or not somebody is your friend. The wounds of a friend are faithful. The kisses of an enemy are deceit. I had a lot of friends like that. Friends. Had no interest in leading me in truth. Had no interest in telling me the truth in love. A friend will look at you and tell you, brother, you got a problem. I love you, want to help you. An enemy, all they want to do is have you join in their fun. That's not a friend. I have a friend.
Amen.
Tells me all the time, John, aren't you glad you have that friend today? If you don't, I would recommend that you get to know him. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. That's a good class. I enjoy all the participation. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, could we ever say enough? Will we ever have the words that we could properly give you thanks and honor, praise? Lord, that we could express the glory that you're due for all that you have done and all that you are. Lord, words cannot express, but Lord, we can in love, in our hearts, in accepting the truth, and humbling ourselves and yielding to your purposes and following you in truth and in faith. And Lord, one of those ways that we can express that love is by sharing the gospel with others correctly and truthfully without ashamedness. And Lord, for we know not, when you call on us to speak, Lord, we don't always know the purpose, Lord, but you do. and that we would just trust you, and we would just be willing and open vessels, Lord, empty of ourselves, but full of the gospel, Lord, that we would just share your word, Lord, however and wherever you would deem it necessary. Lord, I pray that you would just give us great understanding and that we would seek to know you and to understand you and your word and how to share the gospel with others, Lord, that we would study these lessons. Lord, I thank you for the open participation and the different thoughts, Lord, and God, just how through some of what was said today, Lord, you spoke to my heart and taught me. For Lord, you're truly the teacher and we're all the students. I pray that we would be good students, Lord. We praise you and thank you for all that you do. I pray that you bless the service. I pray that you'd have your hand upon the pastor, Lord. And Lord, just give him the words to speak, to minister to each and every heart as it would need be today, Lord. Everyone here has a spiritual and, Lord, physical needs. That God, I pray that we could just minister to one another. I pray if there be anyone lost here today, Lord, that they would hear the gospel message today, Lord, that they would understand what's at stake. And that they would call upon your name, Lord, that they would repent and they would accept you as their Savior. And they would be saved from eternal damnation, Lord, at their own hand. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to realize how to explain that to people, Lord, that it's not you that sends people to hell, Lord, but their own rejection of the love of Christ. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we ask all these things. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name.